Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
Watch too many Olympics. Like, I kind of like fell off the table after Ryan Levier.
No, I will watch it. I don't care. Whatever's on, I will, you know, take a look at it. So this weekend, the only time that I felt like, oh, I had to turn was I couldn't quite get into the cross country skiing, you know, because it wasn't quite thrilling. But yeah, the whatever else is going on, I'll watch it. So I watched a little bit.
That cross snowboarding thing they're doing now, snowboarding cross thing, where you have four people lined up and they're all competing against each other. That's pretty awesome.
It's like a race?
It's a race between all four or five of them.
Is that where that girl did the hot dog thing and killed it?
Yeah, she ended up losing.
Yeah, and the thing, and I really feel like the Winter Olympics are becoming, besides the ice skating and ice dancing and that kind of thing, is the X Games. Because this week you were seeing so many half pipes and, you know, slaloms and stuff like that you'd only see in the X Games.
And there's that dude, the Angry Tomato or whatever his name is.
Flying Tomato.
Yeah, he's a snowboarder and he's like, bro, I was toast, so caught some air. It was awesome, bro.
It's all about organic food, bro. That's it. Give me a little organic food. The gold is mine.
So funny.
So we've been talking the last couple of days about how if you're watching the Winter Olympics, it's really more fun to actually see these montages that NBC is putting together of the athletes than it is to watch curling.
And yesterday, I wish I could remember what I laughed out loud. I forgot what ice skater is a female ice skater, and they were doing her montage yesterday, and she wasn't on a porch looking over to what was going on. They had her sit in her room and had her look over toward her trophy case. But they always have to have a profile of these athletes looking off in the distance.
And then she turns and looks out the window because the trophies represent the past, but what's out the window represents the future.
Right, yeah.
This is what has been. But, Michelle Kwan asks herself, what could be?
I would like a montage. I would like a montage of just the faces, just the turns, right. Not the whole thing. Just
funny.
Yeah, somebody at NBC needs
just
to come
the retrospective looks that they give out the window.
Because everybody has to have that.
So again, these montages are all basically stories of overcoming insurmountable odds to be where they are today. So we have all put together our Winter Olympics montage, and today was my day for my Olympic montage.
Bert Weiss. Gold medal memory problems. While most of us easily weave through our days and nights, we tend to take for granted our ability to recall memories from yesteryear, yesterday, or even last hour. Your first kiss, prom night, a conversation you had 6 minutes ago with a coworker. Most of these memories are easily reachable. But for Bert Weiss, each day is a gold medal in short-term memory loss. No recollection of anything that happened, in some cases, minutes beforehand.
Most days, I really spend just kind of like walking from room to room, trying to figure out what I'm in the process of doing because I can't remember once I leave one room.
We show intern Erin.
It's so sad. I've been working at Q100 for close to 3 months now, and each morning Bert reintroduces himself to me as though it's the first time we ever met. For him, I guess it's like that movie Groundhog's Day. It's so sad.
Bert Show co-host Jeff Dollar.
You know, I book interviews for the Bert Show with celebrities, and I always cringe because Bert is going to forget something really important, whether it's the name of the artist's first album or the movie they were in. Somehow he will screw it up and embarrass the Bert Show in front of these high-profile superstars.
If anything, I think you guys sexualized men, because I remember that video with all the dudes coming out of the elevator. That thing was kind of...
not the elevator?
Yeah.
Tony.
No, that's not Tony Braxton.
Hello.
It's Tony Braxton.
What are you talking about? That's the wrong...
Boy, I am never going to live that down. Have you ever seen that movie Memento? That's the movie that Rob Lowe is in. It's probably his best work ever. It's about a dude that doesn't have any short-term memory. Not only is it Rob Lowe's best work, but I live my life like that every single day.
And some members of the Bert Show have not been quite as supportive. Burt Show producer Tracy Peluso.
Well, publicly, I try and comfort him. But let me tell you, there's been quite a few times where I'll tell him that he's actually approved things that, truthfully, I never even asked him about.
Burt Show co-host Jen Hobby.
I absolutely love the fact that he cannot remember a thing. Nothing, has no memory. But he tries to fight it so much, he gets so mad when he can't remember anything. You know what? Last year, he made this $100 bet with us. Still, won't pay off the bet.
Hey, Burt, what's your number?
48.
Nice.
No, I'm doing that whole word. So I'm guaranteeing you people right now, I will remember that number next year.
Burt Weiss, 1 year later.
What number, Burt Weiss, on December 16th, 2004, were you requested to remember for $400?
I'm going to go with the number 21. Let me play this audio and we'll know.
Hey, Burt, what's your number?
48.
Nice.
No, I'm doing that whole word. So I'm guaranteeing you people right now.
Did I get mine right?
Jen got
it. Yes, I got mine right.
The problem is people can't understand my pain. They don't know what it's like. To not have any short-term memory whatsoever. I can't think of the last time I parked my car and, like, got out of the restaurant and didn't have to walk around a parking lot with my keychain over my head, hitting my alarm button to try to locate where my car is.
Burt Weiss, an inspiration. Burt Weiss, gold medal effort. Burt Weiss. Gold medal, memory loss.
Does that happen to you? Like,
beautiful.
You really forget where you park your car every time?
Every time, dude. I mean, it's embarrassing. If Stacy's not with me, I spend more time in my day trying to actually figure out where I parked my car than I did in the actual meeting I just got out of. It's awful. It's awful. It's so frustrating.
No wonder you hate going to the mall and stuff, because you're in the mall for 45 minutes.
It's
you're in the parking lot for 90.
Yeah.
Thing. The Burt Show.
Hey, Katie Jill.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I know you were up studying all night last night.
Oh, not all night.
A little bit.
Not all night, but that means she definitely studied.
I studied a little bit.
Well, you've been studying your whole life. I mean, you're a big NASCAR fan, so these questions, I think, that if you have been following NASCAR most of your life, some of them are going to be easy. I think some of them are going to be more challenging. I would predict that you're not going to get all 10 right.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
And what Melissa's hoping is that you get 3 or more wrong, because that saves her from boot camp. However, it would still cost her at least a minute and a half of monologue time.
Right, right. So, yeah, I did a little bit of research and figured out there's a lot I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see.
Confidence. Come on. Confidence.
Yeah. It's all about attitude. You got to have a little more confidence in this.
Well, I'm sure it'll be fine regardless, because it's just a win-win for everybody.
Or lose.
I want to hear more in the morning than that.
All right. I have put together a list of 10 trivia questions based on NASCAR.
All right.
Oh, God.
You ready for question number one?
Let's go.
All right. Katie Joe, in NASCAR, what is the definition of marbles?
That would be a reference to the driver's bravery or cojones in making a pass.
The longest race of the NASCAR season is which race?
That would be the Pepsi 600.
The car that comes in first in any NASCAR event receives 180 points towards the Nextel Cup Championship. The last car in finishing order receives how many points?
30.
After a race day wreck, driver Sterling Marlin is notorious for executing this superstition. What is it?
He runs around the track.
The average amount a primary sponsor pays in the NASCAR Cup Series is how much money?
$10 million.
A company can expect to spend how much money per hour for a primary driver like Dale Jr. or Jeff Gordon to do a personal appearance? How much money per hour?
$100,000.
In 1977, she was the first woman driver to qualify for the Daytona 500. What is her name?
Janet. Janet Green.
What North Carolina city does Dale Jr. currently reside in?
Charlotte.
The drive into this speedway is regarded as the worst traffic jam in the NASCAR world. What track is it?
Talladega.
What current driver, this is question number 10, this is it. What current driver endorses Halston 714 Cologne?
Dale Jr.
All right, give us a couple of minutes here, Katie Jo. When we come back, I will tell you how many you got right or how many you got wrong.
Okay.
We will do the math, and we will find out if Melissa has to do any monologue at all tomorrow, and if she does, how much. All right, let's find out how long this monologue is gonna be. I told you that you're gonna have to do some tomorrow. All right. Mm-hmm. Katie Jo.
Yes.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Now, you said you felt pretty confident at least four of the answers.
And, yeah, maybe four.
And keep in mind, when I was putting these together, I have no reference at all of NASCAR. So I had kind of a sense of, you know, that I knew I didn't want you to get them all right, but I had no idea which ones are gonna be hard and which ones weren't because I don't watch NASCAR. So I took these out of one book. And the book is in the back somewhere. It's like the Women's Guide to NASCAR or something like that. All right, here we go. Katie Jo. Okay. The first question was, in NASCAR, what is the definition of marbles? And you were referring to a man's testicles. Which a lesbian should never do.
As you often do.
And you said it probably has something to do with a driver's bravery. I think that makes great common sense.
Right. When passing or whatever?
Yeah.
That marbles refers to some bravery. Great common sense, not the accurate answer. That is excess rubber tire found at the edge of the racetrack.
All right.
Okay, so that's one wrong.
Of course.
That's 30 seconds. Generally, you keep track of these for me?
Yes.
And the time?
Let the record show, Katie Jo got the question about testicles wrong.
I'm feeling pretty bad for you on this one. The longest race of the NASCAR season is which race? You were confident. You answered quickly. You said the Pepsi 600 at Lowe's Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
And thinking about it now, do you know what you said wrong?
Uh-oh.
I think that I don't think it's at the right. Did I say the Speedway? Did I say the wrong Speedway?
It's the Coca-Cola 600.
Coca-Cola 600.
Oh, wrong soft drink.
Oh.
You had the right race. Wrong sponsor.
There you go.
I still support her and all the ants.
That was close.
That's 1 minute for Melissa.
But Melissa, if she gets one more wrong, you're out of boot camp. Think of it that way.
Yeah, see?
Yeah,
look at Jeff always looking at the positive.
That's our Jeff.
If you get one more wrong, Melissa, you can stay lazy.
Question number three, pony girl. Question number three was, the car that comes in first in any NASCAR event receives 180 points. You said yes.
That
wasn't even the question yet.
Right.
The last car in finishing order receives how many points? You said 30. The answer is 34.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Damn.
There's a minute and a half.
90 seconds.
After a race day wreck, this driver, Sterling Marlin, is notorious for executing this superstition. What is it? You said he gets out of the car and he just runs around the track.
Did you make that up?
Yes.
It's pretty quick. No, he always throws away his shoes. He thinks they're bad luck, so he throws away his shoes.
Let me just ask you, has she gotten any right yet?
None, not yet.
Okay,
2 minutes.
Just checking.
It's going to be a long week. Yeah.
2 minutes.
Yeah, you're gonna have a lot of TV time this weekend. Oh.
The average amount of a primary sponsor paying in the NASCAR Cup Series is how much money? You said $10 million. You nailed it. $10 million. You got it.
That's right?
That's right.
Oh, sweet.
You're still holding solid at 2 minutes. What's the deal with post offices?
God, this is going to suck.
Question number six was, a company can expect to spend how much money per hour from a primary driver like a guy like Dale Jr. or Jeff Gordon to do a personal appearance? You said it's got to be about $100,000. The right answer is about half of that, $50,000 to get those guys out there for an hour.
I'm learning so much.
At 2.5 minutes. You're learning what a celibate life is going to be like. I'll tell you that much. You're living Father Bailey's existence for a while.
In 1977, she was the first woman driver to qualify for the Daytona 500. You said, I know this. You read it last night. You said, Janet Green? It was Janet Guthrie.
Janet Green was the girl who always stole your crayons back in fifth grade.
Please pick me up.
How many minutes are we up to now, Jen?
Three.
Yep, we're up to three.
Three.
No.
Are you sweating yet?
Yeah, we're up to 3 minutes.
3 minutes. How you doing, Melissa? It's 3 minutes.
Oh, I'm just listening. Uh-oh.
She's got that fake smile.
she's doing that tapping her pen on the desk thing.
I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm. A priest, a rabbi, and a lesbian walk into a bar.
What North Carolina city does Dale Jr. currently reside in? That's your dude, right?
That's my guy.
That's your guy. You said Charlotte. It's Mooresville, North Carolina.
Oh, come on.
I don't even know if that's outside of Charlotte.
Is that like the Marietta of Charlotte?
I have no idea. That's what it's listed as, Mooresville. Look, it's not much.
Come on, give her that one.
We don't even know where Mooresville is.
Look up Mooresville,
Jeff.
I'll
map quest it. What is a suburb perimeter? I'm trying to help you, Melissa.
I have no idea. It's got
you should, Melissa, you should say like 400 miles.
Yeah, look it up.
What's the deal with Mooresville? Why can't you just say you're from Charlotte?
The drive into this speedway is regarded as the worst traffic jam in the NASCAR world. What track is it? You said Talladega. The correct answer was Pocono.
I thought you meant in the South. Okay.
There are other parts of the country.
Why would you?
Other parts of the country?
Yeah, there are other parts of the country where NASCAR is run.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Is Mooresville with one O or
it two? Is with one R, two R's.
What, huh?
One O, two R's, I mean.
Okay.
We're up to 4 minutes if Mooresville's wrong.
Well, I know Mooresville's right. He's just saying how far out of Charlotte it is.
I think we give it to her.
That's what I meant.
And the final question, Melissa has gone from a natural smile to the kind of like fake smile to the good God, this is going to be the longest 4 minutes of my life.
She's not proud right now.
Uh-oh. She can't even speak to you.
The last question was, what current driver endorses Halston 714 cologne?
I got this wrong, too, I think.
You said, my boy. This is my boy, Dale Jr. You can add another 30 seconds.
Oh, no.
The correct answer was Jeff Gordon. So, we're...
Isn't he your enemy?
I don't like Jeff Gordon, but I don't know their colognes. Yeah, I shanked that pretty good. Mooresville is 30 minutes from Charlotte.
30 okay. minutes from Charlotte. You want to give her that one?
Yeah, dude. Let's give her that
all
one.
All right, 4 minutes.
Dude.
What, 4 minutes? You're the one that's always stickler for the rules. 4 minutes. I'll bend them for you because you're a lesbian. Four minutes of stand-up comedy tomorrow.
Well, at least I don't have to do boot camp ever.
At least you got that going for
you. Wrong, two correct, Katie Jo.
Well,
going
to have to work on that.
Uh-oh. Do you remember how long 60 seconds felt when we had to karaoke?
Let's just all be silent for just 30 seconds. All
okay.
Right. Here's 30 seconds right now.
I can't do it.
That's 10.
Oh, God.
Twenty.
Oh, you don't feel bad. Oh yeah, 4 minutes tomorrow. I'll do it.
How many NASCAR drivers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I am never watching NASCAR again, I can tell you that.
The Burt Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created
extended lead for frustrated divers with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and lead is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. It's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
So, intern Alexis is not here to speak for herself, but I want to relay to you guys a situation that she's in right now with some of her friends, right? And, of course, she detailed it to me, so I'm going to mess up a whole bunch of the information, but she's not here to clarify.
This is similar. This is vaguely similar to whatever Alexis is going through, but it's been embellished quite a bit to make it good for the radio.
I think I've got the gist of it and the gist of the question that she has. And it goes something like this. Like, she's got a friend that's probably, I'm guessing, 23, 24, 25 years old. And been dating this guy for a couple of months. And the guy was like pretty perfect in every area. I'm guessing everything that she likes in a guy, this was the dude. Right height, right sensitivity, fun dude, smart dude, great across the board. But he was really, really, really bad in bed. Really bad in bed. And she waited it out. Because you know that first time, sometimes things don't work out so well. You're like, that's cool. I mean, the guy's so good. You know, in other areas, I'm sure this was just like first time jitters type thing. Didn't work out so well. So
stage fright or something maybe.
Could be. Because I'm under that impression also. Like the first time that you ever have sex with somebody generally is probably the worst it's going to be with that person.
Right.
All right. So second time, didn't get any better. Third time, now she's dreading having to sleep with this guy. But she's really conflicted because he's just not getting any better. They've just started this relationship, really, so they're not at a point in the relationship where she can say, look, here's where here's what you need to do, or point them in the right direction. So the question she wanted to ask was, is it possible to have a really great relationship, solid relationship with somebody, even maybe even a marriage, with the sex being absolutely horrible? 404-741-1005. Now, I want to get Jessica on for this. But I don't know. You know what? That's such an important part of every relationship. I don't know that if she was asking me, I would say no.
I would say no overall, but I would also ask Alexis's friend if she had tried to make improvements. Because sometimes women are afraid to talk to their guys about improvements they can make in certain areas. And sometimes guys are receptive to it, and other times they're not. If it's going to bruise his ego too much and he's going to run away anyway, well, there you go. You have your answer. But I think, don't you think there's some stuff that you can be coached on? Or you can say, this way is great, but that way is not. Or what if we try this? Or slow down here. You know, I mean, you can sort of, I think, coach or give direction over time. And that goes both ways. Men for women, you know, I mean, there's certain things that you guys are going to like or certain things that you're not. And I think you got to be able to tell the other person what it is that you like and what it is you don't like.
See, here's where guys are guilty of just not paying attention, because I think that the women that you're with are giving you subtle hints all the time while things are going on.
Right.
On what they like and what they don't like, if they mean to or not.
But don't.
And if your antenna is up, you should be able to tell. But I don't know that we haven't made the switch.
But the thing is, don't be for women, like when you're dealing with guys, don't be subtle. Like I think women, when they're dealing with other women, like whether it be in the workplace or like friends or whatever, like they try to be subtle and dance around and be polite or whatever. Like guys aren't gonna. I mean, don't be rude, but you don't have to be subtle.
We want to know that we're good, but we can be better. Don't tell us we suck and here's how to get good.
Right. Exactly. Bert put it perfectly. Like, hey, you know what would make next time we do this a lot better? A little guidance. That's all. Not like, God, you know what I'd really, really like? Feathers. Like, and then have that be said over dinner, and then you get mad when, you know, the guy doesn't tickle you with a feather like 4 days later. Like, no.
The question really is that Alexis's friend has is, can a relationship work long term? If everything's great in the relationship, things are fine. But sexually, oh, it's just such a drag, and there's nothing you can do. Now, the trump card in this equation that we don't have is how long they were going out. But I think if the overall question is, can you have a healthy relationship if the sex sucks, is still pretty valid. It doesn't matter the timetable on it.
Knowing Alexis and the circle of friends she runs in, they've probably been dating a week now.
Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Hi. Hey. I want to tell you guys I love your show, and I had to call in. I definitely have an opinion. I think the key word here is long-term, and I think that if long-term things don't change, she is always going to feel like there's something she's missing, and that is a really fulfilling part of a long-term monogamous relationship. And if she always feels like she's missing out or things are not satisfying, I think that the relationship overall will suffer.
I agree with you. Don't you think, too, that if it was over time and you went into a marriage where you were great friends, everything was great, but there was nothing, you know, going on in the bedroom, that you could be pulled away from that marriage easier if someone came in and there was all this chemistry and they were sweet, you know, all this like sexual tension and all this stuff going on or what, you know what I mean? Like somebody could sweep you off your feet a little bit faster, don't you think?
Absolutely. I cannot disagree with that at all. And I just think that, you know, you can't shortchange that part of your life, and you want to be the person who rises above and says, gosh, there's so many other wonderful things about this person, but you really just can't shortchange that part of your relationship.
Yeah, I think that's the flaw in the thinking right there. For some reason, we think like sex is a superficial part of somebody or a relationship, and it's not. Like you want to say, oh, the other stuff that matters so much, he's got such a great heart, he's so sensitive. Well, to me, sex is right there. I mean, that's a pretty big part of the equation. It's not mm-hmm. superficial at all, you know? Hey, Art, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. What's up?
Hello?
Yep.
Hey, what I wanted to say was, you know, part of being in a relationship is taking the good and the bad. Sometimes, you know, as people get older, their sex life wanes. You get to be 40 years old. A man does. His sex life goes out the door a little bit. Women, the same thing. I mean, sex is always going to be there. And if you find somebody that you can spend the next 30 years with, then, you know, you got to sort of filter out what's most important to you.
So what you're saying is you can have a really great relationship with the sex just pretty much sucking.
Well, let me ask you this. What would happen if something were to happen to your partner? They get into an accident and they no longer can be sexually active. That's something to consider. I mean, sex life can be taken away immediately.
I think you're asking a different question.
It's two totally different things. Like, now you're asking someone to make the investment at the beginning, like when that huge lifetime bond hasn't been built. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you're building, it's like building a structure, and you add to that structure every month that you're together. So when would you rather, I guess, abandon building that, for lack of a better word, 3 months into it or 30 years into it? You're not going to 30 years into it.
Yeah, the circumstances.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We are going to call this Burt Show listener Stephanie, and she is on The Voice Disguiser. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Burt. I just want to say I love you guys, and she needs to get rid of that guy. I've been married to the same man for 15 years, and the sex has sucked for 15 years. And it's hard to fake it. You can only stare up at the ceiling and pretend it's Mel Gibson so often.
Now, but isn't some of this your fault? Like, I'm assuming he wasn't great before you got married, and you made the decision to get married to a guy that sucked in bed.
Yep, that's true, but I did love him, and I thought I could make it, I don't know, make it right, make it good. When you love someone enough, you think anything's possible, and unfortunately, I think it's hard to teach guys new tricks. Some just aren't willing to learn. Others are. I'm not saying that there aren't a lot of guys out there that wouldn't be open for suggestions, but bottom line, if you just don't got it, you don't got it.
You've tried to guide him in the right direction, and he just isn't listening?
Oh, no. It's quick and over, and, you know, as long as the man's happy, that's all that matters.
Mm. Have you talked to him about that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
He's just not receptive to making any change?
I don't want to say he doesn't try, but, you know, when you don't got it, how do you make it better?
So what you're saying is, like, there are just some people that will never get better because this is just not something they're ever going to be good at. Like,
You got it. Just like, you know, if you're good in sports, you're just naturally good in things. And if you don't got it, I don't know. You can practice, but that doesn't make you a good football player or a good soccer player.
That's a great question for another time, like taking calls on if they agree or disagree with you that if you're bad, you'll always be bad. Or if there are some that doesn't matter. I mean, in your experience, doesn't matter how hard he tries. This is just something he sucks at. Let me ask you this.
You got it.
Has it, and you're on The Voice Disguiser, so I hope you can answer this honestly. Has the sex been so bad that you have gone outside of your relationship?
Never. Never, I wouldn't do that. I do vow my vows with my husband, and I would never cheat on him, but it helps to just pretend you're there with someone else.
Have you considered it?
Never. Not that, well, I shouldn't say never, but I'd have to get divorced. I could never just cheat on him.
Right.
So you must dread, like, the nights that he's coming on to you, there must be like this small little panic that comes up over you that has to suffer through this.
Yeah, sometimes it's easier to just get drunk. I have to say, when I was younger, first married, you know, when you get nice and drunk, it would certainly make it easier. But now, the older you get, you just pretend that you're with someone else.
Oh, that's sad.
I'm sorry.
And make it what you want it to be, which is sad, but.
Are you guys?
You know, when you have kids involved and you do love the person, you make it work.
Are you all?
That's why I'm saying she's dating the guy. Get out while the going's good.
Are you at a stage where there's no talking or coaching anymore? It's just like you've sort of put up a wall and he's sort of put up a wall.
Oh yeah.
Because I was going to say, even at this point, if you guys got like a coach or, you know, I mean, they have people like that, like sex therapists and stuff that can help couples. But if you guys have both put up a mental wall, even if he gets better, you might not be receptive to it.
I don't know. Because I guess it's that old line, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
But you also can't always keep that in your mind if he is willing to improve.
If he was willing to improve.
Yeah,
but
if
again,
he was willing.
When you, I don't know how to say it, when you have someone that wouldn't be open to those options, it, you know, it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't matter. And I mean, but in 15 years, I of course, I've never told him that it sucks. I mean, I don't want to kill his ego completely.
Right.
Let me ask you a deeply personal question. Have you had a big O in 15 years?
Oh, yeah, because I have a great imagination.
Okay.
So you have it with him?
Yes.
Technically.
Right. Technically.
That's sad. I'm sad for you. I really am. That sucks. That really does. I'm sorry.
Well, just tell her to go while the going's good. I've made my bed. I can lay in it, but no one else should have to.
Good advice for somebody that's there. Thank you very
much
for calling.
Thanks for being so honest.
Appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. Do you remember that one Burt Show listener we had on one time that her husband was so bad in bed that every time he wanted to have sex, she'd run to the refrigerator?
Yes.
And she'd put ketchup in her underwear.
No.
Yep. Every time and tell him that.
No.
It was every time. And it was that time of the month.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's
what about this woman who spent most of her married life getting drunk before they did it? Same thing.
Well, I just think that anybody in any way is coachable if you're open to being coachable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've talked about it in different, completely different scenarios, not sexual or not in the bedroom at all, but like guests that we would have in here that are coachable or others that aren't coachable, because it's just being open to it and being receptive to constructive criticism.
To me, that like your bedroom is like the last place in the world that you should have any kind of ego at all.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Any kind of ego at all, and so many different levels.
Guys have to remember that, too.
The Burt Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So, what if you're looking to lose weight, but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created extended lead for frustrated divers with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and lean is 25% off. Visit takelean.com and enter thank you 25 for 25% off. It's promo code thank you 25 at takelean.com.
We met Jacob on Bert's Big Adventure, and you know how sometimes you just meet a child that has, like, this wisdom? Like, he's 11 years old, but he doesn't say, like, 11-year-old things a lot of times. Jacob is one of those kids, and we brought him on weeks and weeks and weeks ago to see how good he would be at kind of, like, playing the role of psychologist. He did so well. Here's a sample of one of the calls that we took.
I am currently dating I'm 21. He is 32. But he lives in a house with his son's mother. But they're no longer together. She's supposed to be moving out, actually, today. Should I stand here and, you know, try to make things work? Or should I go with everybody else's opinion and say, you know, yeah, he's probably got, you know, he's probably with his baby's mama and all this stuff?
Whoa, that's some crazy stuff. Well, I think that life is about what you think, not what other people think. So don't go on the influence of everybody else. Like, keep it real. Keep it like how you want it. And just basically do what you want to do, not what other people want to do. Well, if she doesn't move out, then yeah, tell her to leave.
So if she's not gone today,
give her a day. Give her a day, because, like, girls are really hard to move out.
So he summed it up in 30 seconds, man.
Yes.
Not a long, complicated adult talk. Jacob went right to it, man. We were in and out in 30 seconds.
It took her longer to explain the problem than it did Jacob how to fix it.
Yeah.
Hey, Jacob, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
How you been, dude?
Yeah, it's okay.
What's going on?
Well, I'm just sitting here kind of.
Sitting here kind of what?
Watching stuff like the walls.
I'm just bored waiting for us to get to your phone
sitting
call.
Sitting there watching the walls.
Yeah, man, walls are fun.
What are they doing?
They're drying.
I hear him saying is in his writer contract, we have to have him on hold less than 60 seconds.
Yeah, what he's saying is, can we keep it moving here, people?
Right. All right, Jacob, let's get to the first call for you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to put you on hold because everybody that wants to talk to you this morning wants to be on the voice disguiser. So I'll put you on hold. We will take their call. You will hear it while you're on hold, and then I'll bring you back on, okay?
Right.
And when you come back on, will you speak up nice and loud for us?
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Hold on one second.
I don't want you to wake up the walls.
Seems awfully bored with us today. Good morning. We will call this Bert Show listener, Bill. Hello, you're on the voice disguiser.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have a question for our child psychologist, Jacob.
Yes, I do. Jacob, I hear recently have had cheated on my wife, and my wife knows all about it, and she's still with me, fortunately, but I don't know why I did this. I need help.
All right, hold on one second.
So, well, what's a specific question for Jacob?
What?
Like, specifically, what do you need help with?
I don't know why I did it. She keeps asking me why I cheated on her, and I have no answer why.
So you're perfectly happy in the relationship.
I was perfectly happy in a relationship. There's 11 and a half years apart in our age, and I don't know if that played a factor in it, but it just happened.
Who's older?
She is.
So you're going, so you need a 10-year-old to come up with an excuse for you to give to your wife as to why you cheated on her.
He's 11 going on 12.
Sorry.
All right. Bill, hold on one second. All right, that one's heavy right there. Let's see what Jacob has to say about it. Jacob, did you catch that?
Yeah.
Here you got a married guy, been married for a while. His wife is like 11 years older than he is, and he was perfectly happy in his marriage and went out and ended up hooking up with another woman.
Well, was there like anything involved? Like, was you at like a bar or something?
Hold on a second. I'm gonna put both you guys on the voice disguiser. Bill, Jacob has questions for you.
No, it was not at a bar. It was a girl that was running around at work. It just kind
of
happened.
Well, that's what'll happen when girls just start running in the office.
You just kind of fall on top of them.
Yep.
That's a tough one right there, Jacob. This guy was totally happy.
What's happening?
Is that Jacob?
Hello?
Yes.
I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead, Jacob.
All right.
I just...
Oh,
okay. I don't think that you should have done it in the first place. That's just kind of, like, weird. Like, not like that kind of, like...
Well, that's not
weird, but, like, the...
weird. Like, crazy stuff weird. But, like, if you want to tell her that you didn't mean to and stuff, if you already have, then that's good. But, I mean, I don't know what went on exactly because, like, I wasn't there. So you just got to, like, kind of think it through and know why you did it. And if you don't know why you did it, then maybe you should just start, like, helping her out and getting a different relationship or something if she doesn't want to be with you. But if she does, then, hey, what the heck? Just go with it.
I think he's asking, he's like, hey, I was totally happy. And, I, you know what? Like, some nice-looking woman came around, and I ended up hooking up with her, and I can't figure it out.
Yeah, well, if you hooked up with her, then you hooked up with her. Just go with the flow, man. Just do what you have to do.
Okay.
So that's what you tell your wife, sir. Go with the flow.
Go with the flow. All right, hold on 1 second, okay, Jacob?
All right.
Good morning. We're going to call you Micah. What's up?
Yes. I have been dating this guy for over a year, living together for a year, and every time I try to have the where are we going future conversation, he starts making jokes, changes the subject, and he did get out of a really abusive, emotionally abusive marriage before we met. And I've got kids, he's got kids, and I'm just trying to decide or try to figure out what we're doing and where we're going.
All right, so for 1 year, well, let's get Jacob back on here. Take the voice disguiser off. Jacob, for 1 year, Micah has been living with this guy. He keeps avoiding the future talk. Like, she wants to build a future with this guy. Every time Micah brings it up, he wants nothing to do with the conversation. As an 11-year-old, what is your advice to her?
Well, if he doesn't want to go through with anything, then just don't go through it with him.
So you can't force him into anything?
Exactly. And he can't force her into anything, which he's not trying to do. So if he doesn't want to go through with it, then don't go through with it. And if you don't want to go through it with him, then don't go through it with him.
So are you kind of saying
Move on with the flow?
Go with the flow.
Exactly.
Go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Don't force him into anything. And good morning to, I'm trying to get Jackie on. Fallon, hang up, put her on hold. Hey, Jackie. Or is this Michelle?
Yes.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey.
Go ahead, you're on with Jacob.
Okay, me and my partner, we just seem to argue a lot over real stupid stuff, and I don't know what to do about it. It'll be over something as stupid as what kind of car just drove by us, and we'll just go at it and argue, and it will turn into a huge argument. And I just don't know what to do about it.
Go with the flow.
All right. How long you been going out, Michelle?
For about a year.
About a year. Jacob, and speak up real loud for us, too. What should she do here? Everything just seems to end up in an argument with Michelle and her partner.
Well, if you're arguing a lot, then that's just kind of being kind of like the same, and you want to kind of not have everybody saying the same thing, and you want to be different. But if that's something like that minor, like a car, like, what? How do you do that? I just don't get that. But if you don't like that, then don't be with someone that you don't like.
That sounds like really simple, great advice.
So, Michelle, if you're arguing over little itty-bitty things like a car...
I mean, like, one night we were driving, and we saw something in the woods, and he said it was a fox. I said it was a dog, and then it just turned into an argument, like, why are you always disagreeing with me? I don't understand you. And then old stuff, like, gets brought up, like, old other simple arguments get brought up, and it's like, I don't understand. And he gets really mad. He also has a temper problem, and I don't understand it. Like, I refuse to argue with him. I try to stay calm, and he keeps going on until it's like I react.
I think Jacob already told you.
Yeah.
If you're with somebody you don't like, then don't be with somebody you don't like.
Is that your final advice there, Jacob?
Yeah, and if you still want to stay with him, just call it a fox dog.
Now that's going with the flow right there.
All right. Car's blue and he says it's yellow. It's a blue and yellow car.
This guy's going to be married for 75 years. Jacob, hold on 1 second. Somebody else wants to be on the voice disguiser. Good morning, Jackie.
Good
Hello, good morning. I love y'all guys.
Thank you. You need advice from our 11-year-old child psychologist.
Yes, I've been engaged for 2 years, and I have chemistry with this friend. And is that normal to have chemistry with someone and absolutely be in love with someone else?
All right, so you are engaged, but you have a stronger chemistry with the best friend. Just so we can kind of like get a couple more details, is the best friend showing any interest in you?
And there's some innocent like little flirting, like, do you mind if I kiss your fiance? You know, and then he's like, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, I think there is. But when we don't see him for a while, it's like the feeling goes away. But then when we see him, it's like my heart drops to my stomach. So I don't know if that's normal. Maybe it's cold feet. I don't know.
So when all three of you are together, you have stronger chemistry with your fiance's best friend than you do with your fiance.
Yeah.
Ooh. I want to see what he wants to say. Hold on 1 second, okay? All right, we get Jacob back on. All right, Jacob, the scenario here is that we're going to call her Jackie, is engaged, but she has more of a chemistry, and she's actually more attracted to her fiancé's best friend than she is her fiancé.
Well, then the one with the most chemistry, just go with, because you don't want to be with somebody like 2 years down the road that's like you don't like anymore. If you have better chemistry with somebody else, then maybe longer you'll be able to live with them and stuff.
All right, so dump the fiance and go with the person that you feel more strongly about.
Yep.
Okay.
And then, hey, Jacob, what does she do when she's with this guy that, you know, she dumped the fiance for, but because they're all friends, like a year from now she's at a party and with the new guy and the fiance walks in?
Then just, if he wants to get mad, just stay away from him. And if you just like, hey, what's up, then just do that.
Then it's a fox dog.
It's a fox dog. Yeah. We got a bit of a fox dog on our hands. Caroline, you're going to be the last call here for Jacob, our child psychologist.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, Jacob.
Hello.
Jacob, I'm in a relationship with this guy. We've been dating probably about 2.5 years, and we started out as friends in a little group. I didn't pay him any attention. He approached me. There is one problem with me, but not necessarily, he says, with him. I'm 11 years older than he is. And lately, we started out like having a really good relationship. And now he's kind of like pulled back. It's like he's with me, but he's not with me.
Well, maybe he's the first guy who called in. He's doing someone in the office.
Okay. So what exactly is your question for Jacob?
My question is, should I just approach him and say, is there something wrong? Do you want to move on? Is the relationship over? Because I feel like he's distant.
Well, I think that if, like I said before, if he doesn't want to be in something, don't make him. And if, I think you should confront him and ask him about it. Because, I mean, if he doesn't want to be with you, then obviously that makes you not want to be with him, because then he'll not like you, and then you won't like him, and there'll be a whole huge thing.
So. True. I like this little kid. He's almost like my 7-year-old niece. I call her for advice.
Serious. I mean, they cut right through it. I mean, he's telling you, look, if he doesn't want to be in the relationship, then why do you want to be in the relationship? Is what Jacob
said.
Exactly.
I mean, because I'm a very attractive woman. I'm not being facetious, but I'm at the gym 4 times a week, so it's not like I just need him because of his age and that. But we were just really good friends, and before we were lovers, we were friends.
He gave advice. I mean, that's the thing about adults will complicate. Like, I think if this show has taught me anything, is that puberty has made us stupid. It's puberty that made us stupid.
Thanks, Jacob.
You're welcome.
All right, Caroline, see ya. Jacob, very solid advice again today, dude.
All right.
Well done.
All right, thank you for coming on with us.
Okay.
Bye. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.